Went to New Zealand. We did missions in New Zealand for 6 months. Came back, got engaged, got married. We were in Belize for 2 years planning a church there where we were kind of responsible for the youth portion and the worship team. So we kind of built up a Belizean group of leaders between the youth group and the worship team, and we kind of just handed off what we were doing down there. And then as we were praying, as things were kind of winding down there, we were just kind of like, God, what's next? And it was really weird for us because both of us being, when we got married, we both thought we were going to be like overseas missionaries, like our whole lives. That was just our passion. It was just what was burning in our heart. I mean, the whole time we were dating and getting married. And I started feeling this thing when I was praying about Cambridge, Minnesota. It's like, what is this about? And my wife didn't marry like some guy that lives in Minnesota. She wanted to marry an overseas missionary. So I was like, I was a little tentative about what I felt like God was doing. And so it took about 2 months for me to muster up the courage and be like, I feel like there's something going on with Cambridge. And she's like, I've been feeling the same thing. So we moved back. We're living in Cambridge now for about 3 years now. But one of the things that I like to do that I feel it's become pretty natural for me. I find that prayer has been much more enjoyable when it's a two-way street. and one of my favorite things that I like to say is when we talk to God, we call it prayer, but when he talks back, we call it insanity. And that's really something that needs to go away. Like, we really need to be a little bit more open to the idea that God really wants to talk to us and communicate to us. And so one of the things I like to do anytime I'm in a new group of people, I just like to pray for people and see if anything just comes back. And for you two, I got something again. and I feel like you've for a while, you've been super faithful. And you've been, the obstacles that have come on both of your ways, both personal front and ministry, like, you've just been faithful and faithful and faithful. And I feel like you have this thing inside of you, like, okay, what's next? Okay, what's like this next step now? And I feel like God is spoken over you that you're no longer his servants, you're his friends. Because what he says is, he says, a servant doesn't know what his master's doing. And he's implying that a friend does. And I feel like over the summer, he's going to be bringing you into a lot of new ideas. And this question of what's next is going to go away. And it comes with setting yourself into kind of some new territory. Like, expose yourself to like some things that you wouldn't normally do. Do something outside of your ordinary. And I just feel like God is moving you into a place of new learning, because you've been faithful for so long. He's going to start entrusting you with your own ideas. Because in Psalms it says, trust in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And you've trusted in God and you've been faithful for a really long time. And now he's going to trust you with your own desires, because your desires are his desires. Nick, I just met you. I don't know you, but I feel like God is really, the way he's kind of trained you, you have a lot of business capabilities. And I don't know if you own your own business or anything like that, but I want to just plant an idea in you that to do something independent. I just really feel like God wants to bless your job. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but he wants to just bless where you're at right there. And start thinking, if you're not already there, like, about starting something of your own. Because I really think like God has gifted you in that arena. And the young couple in back there with the kids, I really feel like you just got this faith like coming out of you. And I want to say to you, like, you're going to find what you're looking for. And I feel like you've been searching. And God just wants to, like, speak something over you that you're going to find what you're looking for, but it's not going to come with a lot of the different forms that you've seen before, because you carry something that God wants to express that comes uniquely through you. So don't be looking for other things to find it, because a lot of what you're going to be looking for is going to come through what God has put inside of you. And so don't get put into a box. Don't be looking for what other people are doing, because a lot of what God has for you, he's going to be doing through you, because what you carry inside of you, he wants to make it like permeable in the body. So you're going to have to, like, this faith that you have, you're going to have to act on that a lot, and it's going to be so fulfilling to you because you are going to find what you're looking for. Yeah, so good start. It's a good day. So I talked to Mark. How long does this usually go, by the way? 10 minutes? Yes, my father's like, you should just be done. What time? 11:30-ish? All right. I don't know if I can go that long. My wife would be like, yes, you can. You always have something to say. So Mark talked to me a couple of months ago. He's like, would you like to come and speak on June 10th? I was like, yeah, sure, that sounds good. And I said, what do you want me to speak on? He's like, well, we should talk about the Holy Spirit. I'm like, well, that's generally specific. I said, that sounds good, because I like that topic a lot, because it's very broad. So to start this morning, I want to talk about, like, my passion in this life. Jesus talks so much more about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, than he did about salvation, than he talked about anything else. Like, his primary message was concerning this thing he called the kingdom of heaven. It's really interesting. In Matthew, he uses the word saved, like, 3 times. And he uses the word kingdom 123 times. Interesting that sometimes we think so much in terms of this faith thing having to do when we die. And Jesus' primary message was, I come to give you life. Something that is happening here and now. And when he spoke of eternity, he didn't speak of eternity way off when. He was speaking in a present tense. Like, eternity is now. We are living in it. We are taking part in it. Now, yes, no, there's something that happens after we die, but there's so much more that Jesus has for us. And so I want to talk to you today about the kingdom of heaven in terms of the Holy Spirit. So, never used one of these clickers before. So to start off this morning, Romans 14:17. This is Paul writing. He says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And this whole eating and drinking thing, he's talking about in terms of these rules and these kind of societal norms that were being set up. And he was talking about the following of these rules. And so what he's saying is the kingdom of God doesn't come by following rules. It's a really good lesson for us to learn as the church, that our life won't be more fulfilling, more satisfying, if we follow these certain set of instructions. And even the Pharisees came to Jesus in Luke, I think it's chapter 17, and they said, when is the kingdom of heaven going to come? When is the kingdom of God going to come? And he says, don't think that the kingdom comes by observation. And that word observation in the Greek, what that means is observing rules, observing the law. The kingdom of God doesn't come by observing these certain set of rules and laws. What he says is, for indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. It's not these things, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy. These things can't be forced on people. You can't force somebody to have peace. You can't force somebody to have joy or to be righteous. And you can't legislate these things either. And I'm all for voting for people who are looking for God's heart and want to do good things in our nation, things like that. But you can't legislate these things. These things come from inside. Righteousness, peace, and joy. So if we broke this verse down, it says, for the kingdom of God, if we took out what it isn't, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So if you take the bookends of this verse, the kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. And where is the Holy Spirit? In us. That's why he says, for indeed, the kingdom of heaven is within you. We need to start living from inside out and trusting that God's work actually did happen in us and that he trusts us to live from the inside out. Sometimes we don't trust our passions and our desires. But those got changed too when we got saved. So righteousness, peace, and joy. And it's in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. When Jesus in Matthew 12, he's casting out these demons, and the Pharisees are like, you are a demon. You're the devil. You're Beelzebub. And he said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you, because the kingdom is in the Spirit. So to start off talking about the Holy Spirit this morning, I want to start with John 16. I've never seen it do that before. I don't know how I did that. See it? You guys got fancy PowerPoint over here. So John 16, 13 through 15 says, this is Jesus' kind of condolence, because he's in John 16, he's saying, I'm going to leave. And they get really sad. And this is how he consoles their grief. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Next verse says, did it again. Here we go. He will glorify me. I think it's going to do it every time. He will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All the things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. I underline certain portions of this passage here, because it's really important what we think the Holy Spirit does. Now, this is a rhetorical question. I don't want you to answer this right now, but think about this in your life. What is the role of the Holy Spirit in your active life? Now, just think about it. I don't want an answer. Don't quote me a scripture. Don't say this nice patented answer of what we learned what the Holy Spirit is. What role does he have in your life daily? Just think about that. Because all these verses, what Jesus is talking about is he will speak to you. He will tell you things. Oh, I went too far. He will declare it to you. It declares, like, the primary, what Jesus is saying is, like, the primary role of the Holy Spirit is to talk to us about what is on God's heart in the present. So, I want to just clarify some things. Now, if anybody knows me, they know I love Scripture. I love the Bible. But one thing I really found useful is this is not God's primary way of communicating with us. And in fact, this book, without the Holy Spirit, isn't true. Because when Jesus was in the desert, what did Satan use to tempt him? Scripture. This book, absent of the Holy... If you read this book without the Holy Spirit, it is not true. You need the Holy Spirit to lead you. What does it say? It says the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. So if you try to read this absent of it, you won't be led to truth. You need the Holy Spirit to understand what's going on in here. So I want to give just some practical things that we can do. Practical ways that we hear the Holy Spirit. And we need to really think outside of our nice church boxes. Because I find that people really find, like, what's revealing to me more isn't so much what people's necessarily favorite verses are. I like to ask people, what's your favorite movie? What's your favorite song? And they'll tell me these answers, and there's a reason why they love these movies, and it's supposed to be that way because it reveals who God has made us to be. Now, maybe it's Braveheart. I love Braveheart. Or maybe it's P.S. I Love You. I don't know. Like, our favorite things, the things that make us come alive, oftentimes are our favorites. We listen to this song, and it's like, I listen to the song, and something inside me just comes alive. That is the language of the Holy Spirit. I feel like the Holy Spirit is like the ultimate inspirer. And when you feel inspired to do good in this world, that is one way to recognize the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't have to come in a worship setting. Like, I get inspired in worship. I do. But, like, I listen to songs. I watch these movies that people are making. It's like, I feel inspired to do good. And that's one of the ways that we can, like, communicate with God, and we can tell, like, who he's made us to be and what he wants us to do. So, First Thessalonians 5:23. Now, I just picked out this verse because of the middle part there. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So, he uses three different things to describe a human being here. Spirit, soul, and body. We all have these things. We are three parts. We have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body. Now, the way that we're trained is what is real is what we can touch, smell, taste, see, hear. That's what's real. That's kind of how we're trained. But if God is real, by definition, he is beyond those things. John 4:24 says God is spirit. So if God is a spirit, it says God is spirit, those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. So if he's a spirit, where do you think he's going to communicate with this three-part being? Probably in our spirits. And I feel like a lot of people are waiting for this, like, audible voice. Or they're waiting for this huge manifestation of something. And I find that the language of God is way more subtle because it happens inside. It says in Zechariah that God creates a spirit of a man within him. It's not going to happen here. And I say that it can happen, but primarily the way that God talks is inside of us. It says he was joined with the Lord as one spirit with him. Paul writes that in 1 Corinthians. He was joined to the Lord as one spirit with him. So we have to start being more aware of how things make us feel. And this is going to... We need to start being more... Have more confidence in our emotions and our feelings. And this is hard sometimes. Because sometimes the way that we were taught is that you can't trust those things. And those things are this way. And we should be logical and reasonable and we should... Do it this way. And the mind is a fantastic tool, but it is not supposed to lead us. It's supposed to be a servant. Our spirit is where we come alive. And that is what is supposed to lead us. So we have to be comfortable with how different things are affecting us and how we're listening and how we're hearing and how movies affect us, how songs affect us. And as we do that, we start becoming more aware of things that are going on inside us, because that's where he is. And we can't be afraid of emotions and feelings. I don't know if you've noticed, but God is like the most emotional person in the Bible. Anybody notice that yet? Like, he's got more feelings than anyone in the scriptures. And Satan didn't create feelings. Satan didn't create emotions. Satan doesn't have the power to create. God created those things. So we can't demean them. They're there for a purpose. So we have to start stepping into these things a little bit more. And I just want to tell you a few stories because I don't like teaching without actually having lived it. Anything that you teach and you don't do is it's just weight on people. That's really just a good standard. Don't teach anything that you don't do because you're not giving people practical outlets for what it looks like. If you teach something, you don't do it, it's just a weight on the people that you're teaching. So, and I want to tell you my stories because I like being responsible for my own stories. I could tell somebody else's story, but I feel like when I tell my own story, I'm responsible for the people in it and to convey it in a way that is true. So, this pastor called me up one time and he said, "I'm meeting with this guy." And he told me his name, and I had no idea who he was. And he said, "Now, I'm not going to tell you anything about him. I just want you to pray for him and see if God, you know, gives you anything, shows you anything, or speaks to you anything." And I was like, okay, because I kind of like those assignments. Because it's just like you're out there, and you have to have some sort of faith. And if we're going to have any sort of success in this life, we have to live by faith. We have to have an active faith. We can't just... Faith isn't something that's, you know, it's not domestic. It's not just, it doesn't just stay there. Faith is something that you have to live by. And so I said, okay. And so I went and I prayed and I was sitting there and just kind of just had some music playing. And I got this, okay, everyone just do this exercise with me real quick, okay? Okay, close your eyes. Everyone close your eyes. Can you imagine a shoe? You see it? Now, everyone in this room has a different image of what their shoe looks like. Somebody's got a heel. Somebody's got, like, a sneaker. Somebody's got all sorts of different things. You can open your eyes. So, and you can change it. Like, you can imagine a shoe that's tied. You can imagine a shoe that's untied. Like, you can see it, but you can't see it. And a lot of the way, that's the way God talks to us. It's just these images or these thoughts that just come in. And we disregard them so quickly because it's not reasonable or logical. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm praying, and I get this picture of these red skis. And I was like, well, that's not spiritual at all. I'm waiting for, like, this, you know, big spiritual moment or something going on. And so I just, like, nope, that's just me. I'm just creating this into my own head. And so red skis, and second time. I was like, nope, now I'm just thinking of it because I thought about it the first time. Three times, red skis. And then you start thinking that way. So I just disregard. And so then I saw this this picture of an eagle, and I was like, yeah, that's way more spiritual. There we go. That's what I'm looking for. And so I later on, the next day, we meet with this guy, and I gave him this thing about the eagle. And it was really helpful to him and relevant. And so at the end, I said, so what do you got going on this weekend? It was a Friday. He's like, oh, me and my brothers, we're all going to Colorado, and we're going skiing for 3 days. What would have happened? And the thing is, we disregard little things like that, but Jeremiah chapter 1 is kind of Jeremiah's initiation into ministry, and God comes to him and says, what do you see? And Jeremiah says, I see an almond tree. Now, how spiritual is that? Like, most of us would be like, yeah, that's nothing. And God says to him, you have seen correctly, for I am ready to perform my word. So it's really interesting that the word almond and the word ready in Hebrew are the exact same word. Yep. So God took something in Jeremiah's natural world and was trying to speak to Jeremiah through it. Now, let's take this and make this normal in our lives. Like, I go to movies looking for what God is saying now. Because God takes stuff that's in our natural world, and that's one of the issues that we have, like, trying to live this life, is because Jeremiah didn't have the world that we live in. He didn't have Facebook. He didn't have movies. He didn't have volumes of books, and, like, they had a very simple life. We live in a very different world. But God is still looking to take things in our normal world and speak to us through them. But when this is the only avenue that we allow God to speak to us, we cut off a lot of what he's trying to say. A lot of the ways that he's trying to inspire us. So we have to be much more aware of how things are moving us. So one more quick story. Actually, I'm going to do one more verse before I go into that. The language of the Spirit is different than how we perceive normal communication. Habakkuk 2, verse 1. Habakkuk says, I will set myself on my rampart, which is like this big thing that you're overlooking a region of land. It says, and I will look to see what the Lord will say to me. I will look to see what the Lord will say to me. Wouldn't most of us listen to hear what he would say to me? You need to be much more aware of your imagination. There's a story of Walt Disney, he died before Disney World went up. And they said about Walt Disney at the kind of commencement of this huge park, and he's like, oh, wouldn't it be nice if Walt was here to see it? And his right-hand man said, he did see it. That's why you see it. And our imagination is a fantastic place. Because what if all these stories in here, what if they're not like, what if God isn't like taking over their vision? Where they're like seeing things, but what if it's happening in a place where it's inside of them? Something is happening inside of them. So I was Cambridge has this really great prayer chapel out on the Hattaché property, and I was out there praying one day. And by the way, like, you don't have to like be praying to hear God either. Like, just life is so much more simple than we make it out to be. But for this particular instance, I was in the prayer chapel. I was just praying, and I felt like God wanted me to go to the movie theater. And it's one of those things, just like, you just have this, I was just in there, and I got a picture of the movie theater. And I was just praying, like, over the city, over Cambridge, and that was the thing that came to my mind. So I went there, and I'm sitting there, and this is the worst progression ever. But I was sitting there, and I felt like God was saying that there was somebody named Mark in the building, and he was wearing a blue shirt. Like, these aren't, like, things that I'm hearing. It's almost like I'm imagining these things. I was like, this is no way. This is ridiculous. I'm not doing this. So I argue with God in my car for about 10 minutes. I just sat there. And eventually, if I have enough time, I eventually do it. But if I don't have enough time, then I can easily bail out. I mean, we've all been there. Come on. So I go in, and I proceed to write this guy a letter. This imaginary person that I've never seen, met, anything. I'm writing him a letter. I'm like, this is just sheer craziness. Like, I am crazy right now. I'm writing him this letter. And so I go into, and it's noon on like a weekday at the movie theater. It is empty. And so I go in there, and I said, is there a guy named Mark here? No. Just straight up, the guy in the front, no. It's like, are you sure? It's like, yeah, I'm sure. I'm the only one here. I was like, oh, that was weird. So I was like, okay. I was like, are you sure? I said, one more time. He's like, hey, you know what? He's like, there's a meeting going on upstairs. There's a whole bunch of, like, of the city planners up there. And I was like, he's like, I think there might be a guy named Mark up there. And so I was like, give him this letter. So he gave him the letter, and it was because of that letter, like, he was a businessman. He had, like, 100 different employees that he was the owner of a business, and he was managing these people. And because of that letter that I wrote him, he did some things in his business that he wouldn't have normally done. And during, this was before 2008, during that whole crisis and a year after, they doubled their business because he kind of took some risk. And I don't want to say that because, like, to point at me and be like, but what the reason that God wants to communicate with us is because he wants this world to get better. He wants us to be more fulfilled. He wants the people around us to be more fulfilled. He wants all of us to find our purpose. And it's going to come a lot through us and communicating with God in our everyday. It has much less to do with disciplines and all these different things that we try to make a successful life. Like, find your purpose, because it's inside you. Find the things that make you come alive. And start taking steps of faith to, like, it starts small. I remember I called my aunt one day. Like, I don't call my aunt, really. And it was a few years ago, and I just thought of her. Anybody ever are driving, and you just think of an old friend? Or somebody just pops in, and you're like, why am I thinking about this person? It's things like that. And we have to be more aware of that. And it's like the first step. It's the first step on, and guess what? The great thing is we make mistakes. And we have to not be afraid of making mistakes. Like, when my daughter was learning to walk, like, she didn't fall down. I was like, you idiot. Could you please get this already? I was like, try again. Let's stand her up. Let's do this again. Try again. And that's how we do this with God. Like, we start taking steps, and we're going to fall down. But, like, God isn't mad at us when we make mistakes. When we're trying to step forward and believe in him, he's not upset when we make mistakes. He's like, come on, let's try this again. So next time you're in your car, you're driving, that person pops up. Instead of just saying like a 10-second prayer towards them, just take it to God and be like, okay, is there anything you want to say? Maybe a Bible verse will come up about peace or about this or about that. Or maybe you'll just have a feeling about, maybe it's their job or their health or their spouse or their kids or whatever is going on. Like, just instead of taking prayer towards somebody, you can, still good, do that. But take it to God and be like, why are you bringing this person to my mind right now? What is going on? Start making your prayers more interactive with God. It just starts little like that. These little ideas that pop in, these little people that just pop into your head. Why am I thinking about this? So, anybody want to be stretched today? All right. So this is a great opportunity. I don't like doing things without practice. And you don't have to do this. I never make anybody do anything. But so what I want to do this morning is I want to get about two or three people that have something going on in their life that maybe it's creating anxiety, or maybe they're looking for an answer. Maybe it's not anxiety. Maybe they're just looking for like the next step or something that's going on in their life that they would just like some kind of helpful steps to take. What does God want me to do? So, and then what I want from us is we're just going to gather around them. We're going to pray. And maybe a verse pops up. And you can write it down. Write it down for them. Just the reference. Write it down. Or maybe you get this picture of something else. Or maybe anything that comes up. Just write it down. And you don't have to come up with any. This isn't like a pressure situation, but this is how we grow. And I like to do things with practice. So does anybody want to be the person who gets prayer or is looking for an answer? We've got one, two. That's good. Three. Let's do three. All right. We've got some bold ladies in here. All right. So what we're going to do, if the people around, let's say like the back couple rows there, gather around Alicia there. That's her name, right? Yeah. Yes. And then kind of this half here, over here, and then this half with that lady there. And then we're just going to gather around. We're just going to pray for like a couple minutes. And instead of praying just towards the situation, we're just going to take it to God and see like, what's going on? And don't tell them. Hey, ladies, don't tell them what's going on. That's the best part. Don't tell them what your situation, what you're looking for. So gather around with them, like, and just, we all have verses that we think about, or like, and it's the great thing about scripture is the bigger well that you have, the better God can just grab these scriptures out of your heart when he needs to. So maybe it's a scripture, maybe it's an idea, maybe it's a thought, maybe it's just a word of encouragement or whatever's going on. Like, let's see what happens, okay? All right, so this group over here, and then in back there. Sound good? Awesome. Let's do it. This is not normal church, I know. I'm sorry. And we'll go until 11:20. So we'll just pray for like a minute, minute and a half, whatever. And this is like, if you have any fear right now, you have no reason to be like fearful or afraid. Like, just be excited. Like, and you might have say something that's completely irrelevant. That's just fine. This is how we learn, okay? This is great. All right, so, huh? Let's do it this way. Have one person designated to just be the writer, or we'll have a pen and paper at each group here, and you can just write down your verse or your word or whatever, and that way it's all anonymous, and you can just give it to them, okay? Does that sound good? Somebody got a pen in this group? How about a piece of paper? Here. Somebody, just pass a piece of paper around if you feel like you got something, it's anonymous, you don't have to. Pen and paper over there, good? Is there any way we could just get a song going during this? Sweet, just one.
I can only imagine Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. When that day comes, when I find myself standing inside, I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
Right now, do you feel like you got anything at all? Like, this is where faith comes in a little bit, where he's like, okay, maybe I have something, but maybe not. Just write it down, pass a piece of paper around, write it down, and then somebody can give it to the person that you're praying for. It'll just take a minute or two, so they can get their things written down. Can only imagine.
All right, so as we're finishing up writing our things here, did anybody just kind of feel anything shift when we started doing this? Like, just felt like there's some sort of, you could just feel like God present all of a sudden when we started shifting this way. And just, it's one of the things to be aware of. And Jesus taught, he said that the presence of God was there to heal them. And it's just, I know I live with this theology that God is always with me, but sometimes he's just there. And notice those times and notice those things that just make you come alive. And it's just a really great time when those things happen. It's just start interacting with God. Like, even if it's in the middle of your favorite song, or a song that you hear on the radio, or a movie, or a book that you're just thoroughly enjoying. And it's like, at those times, just start interacting with God. And so, this is good. I like this a lot. Anytime that imagine a body of believers that has their antenna up all the time. It's looking for what God is doing. And speaks into a world, because I have this kind of sneaky suspicion that everybody wants God. Everybody. Like, everybody wants who he is. They want his goodness. They want the life that he has. They want an authentic representation of him, though. Imagine a group of us
living a life that we're always looking for what God is doing, and we're speaking to a world that wants him. Not, you need to believe this and you need to believe this, but we're bringing joy and peace into people's lives by the lives that we live and the words that we speak to people. That's a powerful thing. So this might be your first time you've ever done this before, and I hope it's not your last, but start thinking in terms of when, what inspires you, what makes you come alive. This is just, it's kind of a sneak peek into who God made you to be. And from that point, start listening, start interacting, start acting on those little promptings of those just thoughts that come into your head. Like, find out where those go. Give that person a call and just be like, hey, I'm thinking about you. Is there any reason? Find out why these things are going on inside of your spirit. Because the more you do that, the better tuned you get. So, is everyone finished up with their papers? Yeah? All right, awesome. So let's just close in prayer today and try to stay cool for the rest of the day. All right. Jesus, I just thank you so much for this group of people here and the hunger and the passion that they have for you. And Lord, you just so want to bless all of us here. And bless this group and this church. And I just pray for open doors for River of Life. This summer, they're transitioning from one building to the next. Or they're trying to find out what the next step is. I just pray that through even a little bit of what we learned today, that you would make your will clear. That people would start acting on promptings and talking with one another what they feel like you are doing in their midst and in their daily life. Father, I pray that we would just be aware. We'd be aware of you the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.